Anyway, let's get started.
Fuck that movie. Let's not just talk about baseball the whole time.
We'll do baseball on the podcast. All right, we are recording. Go Gogs. Hey, everybody.
Welcome to the podcast.
It's
July Moore and I came up with the month and I can't remember what it's called.
It does sound like it. It's
I know.
Uncanny.
It's uncanny, just like the X-Men.
So right off the jump. So we watched The Seventh Son.
Yeah.
I don't know why I kept thinking this movie was called The Last Witch Hunter, but that's a Vin Diesel movie
with a similar plot.
Yes.
That's because Goggs said that last week and was corrected like twice, but he still said it like two times. So that's why you thought that.
Yeah. This is The Seventh Son, which, by the way, is an awful title. But it's based on a book, and the book is called like The Spook's Apprentice or something.
They changed it in America for the reasons that make the movie like so hard to watch.
Yeah. You can understand
the book, The Seventh Son is like 12 years old.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
He's not a man. He's a child. But they didn't really. They didn't really change any of that with like the dialogue or anything. They just cast a full grown man
instead of a child. We see that in American movies all the time. I don't know why they never cast kids. They always go older.
Well, like Batman, which one's the first Batman Forever? Where he's doing fucking
Robin?
Yeah, where he's doing fucking forever. Laundry foo and shit. He's like 32 years old.
Yeah, but I mean that's all. I mean, I feel like we watched. I can't place a specific example, but I feel like that comes across all the time.
What was that Nier game where in Japan they released it and it was like you were kids, but in America they made it like a man because like it was it wouldn't fly over here for whatever reason. It isn't Automata; it's the one before that.
It's just Nier. That's all that game was called. It's just Nier.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they did a re-release of it and they called it Nier Replica.
Yeah, and it has like a million numbers or something on it.
But the original version of that game is just over here anyway. It's just called Nier, and that game like all those guys' games, super fucking weird. Anyway, if you can't tell because we're already not talking about the movie, The Seventh Son's not very good, and we're not looking forward to talking about it. But like Sean said to me, this is a movie that we've brought up on the show a bunch. Maybe not in name, but we've definitely brought up the fucking witches. We brought that shit up 1,000 times, so it does seem appropriate for us to cover the movie. I will say, too, and this came as a surprise, and I don't know if anybody else felt this way, I was expecting Wizard Rooster Cogburn, and his accent is even weirder than that. Like, I can barely understand...
We'll talk about the accents in the movie, because it is confounding.
It's like what he's doing with his voice is so fucking weird, and like I could barely understand what the fuck he was saying through half the fucking movie. Like it was, hilarious. But anyway, so we'll talk about that a little later. What did you all watch this week? I'm gonna start with my wet boy, who's joining us from this side. Alec. Oh yeah, and Goggs isn't here because he's gay or something.
He's on vacation or something.
No, his wife's getting pounded out. That's why. She had to leave
and get
pounded out.
Good for her.
I know, right?
I watched three things. One is a trash, like, barely a movie. God damn it. It's funny how, like, all these, like, camp, really shitty, low-budget horror movies have one of two protagonists, or antagonists. Either sharks or zombies. Just generic.
And in certain cases, whatever.
You often mentioned never-duplicated zombie shark. My old Xbox tag.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
I had that on my work name tag for a while because when I worked for a company called Bloom, on the bottom of your name tag, it said like "ask me about," and it was supposed to like spark conversation with customers.
Yeah.
And mine was "ask me about Zombie Shark," and nobody ever asked me about Zombie Shark.
Oh, I would ask you right away.
But anyway, it's a movie called Ozark Sharks, and it's about sharks who somehow get into a lake in the Ozarks, and then attack this town that's having a lake on the lake fireworks festival.
That's hilarious.
Oh, it's something.
I'm no marine biologist. I'm pretty sure sharks can't live in fresh water, but that's just me. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. I think they explained it away. There was like a tributary of salt water that went from the ocean to the lake, and they just like swam up it all the way to
that's
the
a,
lake.
That's a anyway. Satisfying word, tributary. I don't know why. It's just it's a nice word. I don't know.
Shout out to tributaries.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Shout out to
There's always a fjord or a tributary. Oh, look, Michael, a tributary. Ozark Sharks is a piece of shit.
How did you watch Ozark Sharks? Man, that's not even hard to say.
Yeah, I don't know. One of the free streamies. It was either Tubi or no, you know, it might have been what's the one that Fandango's affiliate? Fandango Voodoo? Like they've combined now into one.
Fandudo.
It's trash. And like have you guys watched the show Ozark?
Oh, is it trash?
No. I heard it was pretty good.
Stacy has, and she's like, the show's like being set in the Ozarks, it's like gorgeous. Like, because it's like the mountains of like Appalachia. And like there's lakes and forests and mountains, and it's absolutely fucking gorgeous. This was shot in like a mud puddle in Alabama that looks like dog shit. The water's brown. It's not clear water. They just have like footage of like two sharks like doing the live stuff, and the rest of it's CGI. At one point, a man is standing in shallow water. A shark bites like his top half, but he's still standing in the water like his muscly ass was able to stand with like a 500-pound shark, like biting his top half. His legs are just must have been leg day. It's insane. It's awful. It's so bad. It's not even like it's bad. Fun. It's fun bad in that it's so bad, but it doesn't lean into it enough.
Right, right.
Like the only part that leans into it is there's like an old, basically Quint type guy in the Ozark Sharks who has all these homemade, like, incendiary and firearms to like for no real reason, but they work on taking out the sharks, and one of the sharks gets harpooned and attached to a like tow truck, or not a tow truck, but the trucks with like the like from Jurassic Park that have like the reel with like the metal coil in the front and it pulls it doesn't tow, but it like pulls something out of like shallow water.
It's got like a winch or something.
Yeah, a winch. They like winch the shark and pull it back through a wood chipper, and that was pretty fun.
That sounds.
But 90% of the movie is fucking awful. watch Beetlejuice.
Oh, yeah.
For as much as I don't like Tim Burton now, like some of his early stuff absolutely slaps, and Beetlejuice is one of them. Beetlejuice fucking rocks. That movie is so good. I'm not really excited for the sequel.
No,
but I'll probably give it a watch just because I really love what's his name, Beetlejuice himself. Michael Keaton. I love him, so I'll give it a watch when it comes out. But it doesn't look that good, and I'm not super excited for it.
Beetlejuice is one of those movies that I watched. Like I had the VHS of Beetlejuice when I was like very young. Well, I used to watch that movie like all the time. Like I rewatched that movie like 50 times.
It's so goddamn good, and everybody's so good in it. Winona Ryder's fantastic. Catherine O'Hara is absolutely fucking like stealing the show with every scene she's in.
Hell yes,
which is saying something when Michael Keaton is Beetlejuice in the same fucking movie and he's like stealing the scene with every scene he's in. Like
shout out to Ortho, fucking what's his name, associate Bob from Demolition Man.
Oh yeah, Ortho. Yeah, he's in it and he's like he's fine.
And the pedophile's in it.
Yep, Jeffrey. I was reading about that. Like, you know, he did zero jail time. for any of that.
Oh shit, really?
He probation, and then he moved and didn't refile for as a sex offender and got probation again. Like, fuck you, Hollywood.
You all right, then, Jeffrey, don't fuck any more kids.
Yeah,
okay, Jesus, Papa.
Man. Yeah,
to be fair, he didn't fuck any. It was pornography
that we know of.
Well, yeah, that we know of, but scumbag, like, gross. Yeah. Anyway, but Beetlejuice fucking slaps. Like,
the special effects, that movie is cool in Beetlejuice,
so goddamn too. Good. Yeah, and like the effects, like that, the little model shit is so good.
I mean, that's back when Tim Burton cared, before he was like a caricature of himself. Like,
yeah, just cast Johnny Depp and Helena Bonham Carter, let them do whatever they want, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Make it whimsical.
Tons of fucking CGI. I mean, that's the biggest problem I have with that Beetlejuice sequel. The trailer just looks bad. Like, it looks fake in CGI and, like, not in a fun way. It just looks, like, if you compare the two, like, Beetlejuice just looks fantastic. Like, the original looks so good, and then this new one just looks like a soundstage. It just looks, I don't know, very lifeless and forced. I don't know. We all like Dark Shadows, and that looked terrible, too. So
that came out of fucking nowhere.
And to be fair, we're like the only defenders of that movie. Like, I constantly see that movie being brought up as being like terrible. I'm like, that movie was pretty fun.
Also, our expectations were like dog shit low too, so I think that probably helped.
I'm really trying not to talk about baseball, but goddamn, Chicago it's one of those things where they're just getting every little fucking every like blue pit, every fucking thing where the ball can just fall out of somebody's glove. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, that was, I remember that was a movie that the four of us just were waiting for it to get bad and just like.
Yeah, well, because we kept hearing about how terrible it was.
Still hasn't get, still not getting bad. Still doing all right here.
And like genuinely funny, which like, I don't know. I really don't understand. Like, I get hating Tim Burton because I hate Tim Burton now, but that movie was not the one to hate. I don't know.
No. I just learned that scene, the scene where he kicks the tree in the model and it falls over. And he's like, nice fucking model. He ad-libbed that. He kicked the tree. It wasn't supposed to fall over. It like fell over and he just ad-libbed that line. He's like, nice fucking model. And they just kept it in and thought it was hilarious.
That's awesome.
It was hilarious.
Michael Keaton's great. The last thing I watched was... What's going on here? Come on, phone.
The Last Airbender.
Ooh, The Last Witch Hunter.
The first Airbender.
You watched The Last Witch Hunter.
The first Witch Bender. No, I watched the new Ghostbusters, the Frozen Empire.
Oh, how was that?
It's not great. Like, have you guys seen Afterlife, the most recent one before this with?
No.
Paul Rudd. I haven't seen any of them besides the first two.
I haven't seen the female one, the lady-led one with Paul Feig, but Afterlife, I really liked a lot. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun. And this one, I feel like just kind of missed the mark on what made that one so fun. There's too much happening. There's too many, like, threads going on. Too much stuff trying to be referential to the originals in this one, whereas part of the fun of the other one was like all that referential shit didn't show up till like the very end. Yeah. Like, there was like nods to it, obviously. It's a fucking Ghostbusters movie. Like, they had Ecto-1 and stuff like that, but everything wasn't like an inside Ghostbusters joke until like the last maybe like quarter of the movie when some of the other characters started showing up. And this one, they're the other characters are there the whole movie because they're in New York. I don't know. They missed the mark on why Afterlife was so much fun and just were like, they weren't, not that you should do the same thing every time, but it's like that joke in fucking 22 Jump Street where they're like, well, we thought this time we'd go about it a different way. And Ice Cube's like, no, do the same fucking thing you did last time. That fucking worked. It got the crime solved. Everybody loved it. Just do the same fucking thing. Like, no, we're going to try it this way this time. Yeah. It's like, well, that. I mean, it's like, you don't get to follow like the plot exactly or do everything the same, but you need to know what why your movie worked and why it was a success and not just do something totally different because whatever. I don't know. It wasn't like the worst, but it wasn't good either. It was very, very unmemorable. And the bad guy, like, could not give less of a shit about.
Well, I didn't see Afterlife, but from what you've described, it sounds like Afterlife was, like, trying to do its own thing, right? And that's the problem with so many of these fucking, I hate even the term, but that's what they are, legacy sequels. You know what I mean? These sequels to, like, 30-year-old movies. It's like, they're just trying to be, like, self-referential and be like, hey, remember this, remember this. It's like, just... Like, you can make, like, the fucking gold standard example is Blade Runner 2049, right? Like, that movie is its own thing. Like, it's not trying to be the original Blade Runner, right? It's got enough of the DNA of the original, but it is wholly its own movie.
Also, like, they're like, okay, what would an actual sequel, what would a continuation of this movie be 30 years later? Were these these kind of movies, and I haven't seen this one, but I assume it's similar to a lot of them, where it's like it's kind of a sequel, but it's also kind of a reboot, but it's also kind of a reboot to the past reboot that was sort of a sequel, but not really, and it's like it doesn't really know what it wants to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the same guy that directed Afterlife directed this. I don't know, who knows, maybe the success went to his head and he was like, I don't got to put in as much effort because I'm a real movie maker now, Mom.
That, or I wouldn't be surprised if the studio was like, hey, you got this, like, let's crank up the fucking nostalgia, you know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah, let's get Ghostbusters fever going again.
Well, isn't the whole original cast, I mean, except for one, obviously, in the movie? Like, aren't they all in this one?
Yes. The only ones that are not are obviously Egon and then Rick Moranis' character, which yeah, I really
Egon,
was waiting.
Egon's
I was waiting.
Not in there because he gone.
Egon. I was waiting for Rick Moranis' character to show up because I know he started acting again, and I was kind of curious if he'd show up like in a little cameo, but he did not. But Janine is in it.
Oh no! Yeah, isn't she like she's a Ghostbuster now too, right? Which is like okay.
Yeah, she was not. She was at the end because they were like, we need all hands on deck. Yeah. Like she at the through the movie, she was just the same. The receptionist.
Yeah, from the trailer, it looked like they were trying to make like Ghostbusters fucking Endgame. It's like okay.
Like, no. That'd be something.
They get the fucking cartoons to show up somehow.
Hell yeah.
Actually, oh you know God. What? I immediately like that idea. Never mind.
Dave Puff Marshmallow Man. Well, they have the tiny ones in these movies.
But then they have they have Bill Murray voice Lorenzo Music's character of fucking Venkman from the cartoon.
Well, you guys probably already know this, but this is something I didn't learn until like recently. Is because I even as a kid I was like, why do the Ghostbusters look so weird in the cartoon? They don't look like they do in the movie. They didn't have the license to like the likenesses of those actors, so they had to like that's why they look like completely different. I was like, oh, that makes sense. But it I mean, funny, I know the, as a kid I wouldn't know that because I didn't know anything about fucking rights and likenesses back then.
I thought they were just like badly drawn and Winston was just racist, but like, they all, you know, but I thought it was funny that they had to call that Ghostbusters cartoon the real Ghostbusters, even though I think the Filmation Ghostbusters precedes the movie by like 15 years or something.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, yeah. Well, also like there's like a weird, like Hanna-Barbera cartoon that's called like the Ghostbusters. And it's like, it doesn't look anything like the movie. It's some weird cartoon from like the 70s or something.
It's like the Deathstroke used to be called Deathstroke the Terminator, but then the Terminator movie came out and they dropped it even though they had the name first.
Yeah, you told me that. I didn't know that. I thought that was really weird.
I remember I used to have one of those Deathstroke the Terminator comics that I got in one of those Ollie's like $1 for 8 random ass comics. I also had
the art for those, if I remember correctly.
I also had the story of Easter with Jesus on the cover riding a donkey.
Jesus' first appearance.
That was a Marvel comic. Yeah, Jesus issue 1.
I think I got Martial Law at Ollie's, those graphic novels. That's how I found out about that.
Martial Law? Oh, that's weird.
Sammy Hung? Or what was his name?
No, he's talking of that. Not that. That's a
show. Not Sammo Hung. No, Martial Law was a
really weird British comic. It's kind of like Judge Dredd.
It was kind of like Judge Dredd. It was like kind of like a side 2000 AD. It wasn't 2000 AD, but it was a lot of those same guys.
Yeah,
that worked on it.
Very very busy artwork. Very cool. Very very 90s.
That's all I watched. TJ.
Oh my
God. Oh, that's me. I watched two things. The completion of the fucking X trilogy. I watched Maxine. As you guys know, I haven't liked any of those movies. And I am an AMC Stubbs member, so I look for excuses to go to the movies now. And if I had to pay to see Maxine, I wouldn't have gone. But you know what I mean? Having that membership, it's like, well, you know what I mean? I'm basically not paying for it.
Yeah, and I remember that one. I used to have the Stubbs thing. Like, I watched so many movies I never would have even thought about going to see.
I mean, and again, like, I'm off. So, you know, it's like, I might as well. So, I didn't like it. I think it's the weakest one of the three. Like, I think it's a fucking mess.
That's saying something, because you didn't like X at all, did you?
No, I hated it. I mean, I hated all of them. I mean, I don't think any of them are good. And I think that all of them suffer from the exact same problem. And it's the director. I think Ty West is a hack. And I think that he, you know, it's funny. We were just talking about how, you know, a lot of these movies, like, they live off of like nostalgia, right? And Ty West is a guy that is like, all of these movies, these three movies are like nostalgia, nostalgia, nostalgia. But like I've said before, I feel like he doesn't commit enough. Everything that he does is just surface level. And it doesn't like again, like X was Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But again, all he does all he does to kind of get into that mindset and make it that movie is just like copy the color palette. And, you know, he emulates a couple of shots from the original film. You know, Pearl is like this kind of David Lynch meets like Wizard of Oz. And that in and of itself is very David Lynch, because David Lynch loves the Wizard of Oz. But again, like, it's supposed to be like this like 50s movie or 40s movie, really. And the problem is that that movie, like, it starts out with like the 40s music and the Technicolor stuff. But like the characters all talked like contemporary characters now. And like, it's not really framed or shot like a fucking movie from the 40s. So it's like he sprinkles in just like these tiny little things. So like fans of the movie are like, oh, I love this. It's like an homage to this or that. And it's like, yeah, but it's not. Like, you're just, it's just lazy. Like, it, you've done like 20% of the work and then you just give up. And then Maxine is like this weird ass attempt at trying to make a giallo movie, which is like 70s a European horror slasher movie. And then kind of like Brian De Palma. And it just does not fucking work.
It's a cross between Suspiria and Blowout.
I mean, yeah, it legitimately. And then it tries to also be kind of like, I mean, there's even like little bits of like Abel Ferrara in this movie. Like, there's a lot of Fear City in this movie.
Oh, so it's like weirdly horny too.
Oh yeah, it's super horny. And like, it's not satisfying. And the biggest problem with this movie is the plot is slapped together, and it makes, like, it's one of those things where if you think about the plot of this movie, it makes absolutely no fucking sense. And the villain of this movie is the classic horror staple of a character, again, and it makes it worse because this is the third movie, right? This character has not been examined in any of the other films, so his inclusion is, like, super unsatisfying because it's a murder mystery. So when they reveal the killer, you're like, that's it? And again, his motivations are dumb. His overall, like, his, like, scheme doesn't make a lick of fucking sense. I did not care for this movie at all. The only part of the movie I liked is Mia Goth at one point is at, like, she's, like, a stripper, and she's in this, like, this fucking, like, black wig that's, like, really hot. It's, like, that really dramatic bob haircut that I like, and that was the only part of the movie that I enjoyed. I was, like, watching, it's really good. Mia Goth is fun. Like, she deserves better. I thought, I mean, I can understand why people like these movies. I think she's very good in these movies. I just think the movies are bad. And like we've seen with like a lot of movies, like I think people that are fans of one aspect of a movie kind of it's easier for them to gloss over a lot of the shortcomings of this movie. And I think like, and I could be wrong, and I said this before, but I think that this trilogy is like, we're going to look back on this trilogy and people that are fans are like, yeah, these aren't very good. Like, I think people are enamored by Mia Goth. And I think like once that fades away, they're gonna be like, oh, these movies kind of suck. So yeah, I watched Maxine. I didn't like it. I also watched a movie called You'll Never Really Find Me, which is
a I have a question about those movies real quick.
Sure. Sorry. Go ahead.
So they're supposed to be like a legit trilogy.
Yes.
But in the first one, doesn't like, I've seen clips of them on like TikTok. Doesn't the first one take place in like the 40s or 50s, and this one takes place in like the 70s?
No. So what it is Maxine is one of the victims in X. The X takes place in the 70s, right? And the killer in X is Pearl. And the movie goes a great length to try to say that Maxine is going to turn into Pearl for reasons. And both characters are played by Mia Goth, but in the first movie, Pearl is an old woman, so she's in like old lady, like Guy Pearce makeup. So the first movie takes place in the 70s, and it's basically from Maxine's perspective. The second movie is a prequel that takes place in the 40s, and that's from Pearl's perspective, the killer.
But it's starring the same woman.
Starring the same actress. Yeah.
Oh my god, did I just Gog's Black Coat's Daughter myself?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it is, if you didn't watch any of them, it is kind of confusing. And then, so the second one takes place in the 40s with a different character. And then the third one takes place in the 80s, which is chronologically the second in the trilogy, if that makes any sense. But yeah, I didn't like it. I don't think any of you guys would like it. Maybe. I don't know. Like I said, I like Mia Goth. I think she's a fun actress. She's very charismatic, and she gives a good performance, but even she seems bored in this one. Like, she's not really given much to do in this movie, and it's just not very good. But then, yeah, I watched this other movie called You'll Never Really Find Me, which is on Shudder. Go ahead.
I don't know how you're going to feel about this movie, but I feel like by the title, it's a movie we would like. Just the title sounds like the title
I love the title, and I love the poster. I thought both were really cool.
It sounds like Joaquin Phoenix should have a hammer.
Correct. Oh, yeah,
that movie rocks. This movie is frustrating because, like, it has a lot of great elements, but overall, I found it, like, very unsatisfying. So the movie is very simple. It's a two-hander. It's about this creepy dude that lives out in this trailer out in the woods, and there's, like, this raging storm happening outside his trailer, and all of a sudden, this girl shows up at, like, 2 a.m, and she's, like, she's barefoot, soaking wet, and she's like, you know, I need a ride to the bus. I forget what she says, but something like that. And then the whole movie is basically you getting to learn who these characters are, and then there's mysteries as to like who both of them really are. And it seems like both of them are kind of playing poker with each other as far as like revealing like their true intentions, which is very interesting. It's very tense, and I thought both performances were great. The problem is that the payoff is just not good. Like, it's a movie that's like all tension and all first and second act, and you've got to pay that off. And I feel like the payoff is just very unsatisfying. And I don't think the movie is bad, but I can't recommend it because I think the ending is just very weak. And it's an ending that, like, on paper is interesting because it kind of puts a twist on everything that you watched. Kind of like in the way of like a high tension, but it's also, it's weird because it's a twist, but at the same time, it's very predictable. Like, I don't know how to describe it other than like, I need Gogs here for this one because you know how Gogs is like, it's luxuriously dilapidated or, you know what I mean? It's like that. It's a unsurprising twist. It is a twist, but it's a very like predictable kind of, okay. Like, it's disappointing. It kind of twist. Again, it's not awful, but I didn't care for it. And that's all I watched. So, Sean.
Oh, I watched one thing.
You watched one thing.
Oh, I also watched TV. I watched Generation V or Gen V on Amazon, and I thought it was really good.
Side boys show.
Yeah, basically. It's like the New Mutants to the Boys, and it's actually really good, real tight, like 8 episodes. Like big boys. Recommend. Like yeah, boys. Tight boys. What's up, brother? And I fucking Nasty Nate and I went to a movie theater in Wilmington to see the movie.
But real quick, Gen V, the African American lead. Well, I can't remember his name.
Oh yeah, the guy. Yeah, he died in a motorcycle accident or something.
Yeah, he did IRL. So whenever I'm curious if they're gonna bring them back in The Boys.
Well, the girl and the brother show up for like 2 seconds in The Boys season 4.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I saw that was the last episode, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But they keep talking about the virus this season, and I'm wondering if they're gonna break the other ones out and use them as part of their like squad. I don't know. I thought it was awesome. I loved it.
Yeah, yeah, same.
I loved it. I really like. I thought it was refreshing from The Boys. Because I watched it a while ago. I watched it like this past winter. I thought it was refreshing because The Boys every season up until this season, when they announced that next season is the final one, I was kind of getting bored with the repetition of the same thing kind of happening.
Yeah.
But that was like a nice, like, sorbet to kind of cleanse your palate before this new season started.
It feels a lot like the bones of like a Chris Claremont era New Mutants, but with like The Boys stitched on top of it, which sounds like a terrible description, but it's actually good. Right there. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like that dynamic. You know what I mean? Like, it's interesting to see. Yeah. So, and then, like I said, Nasty and I went to see Kill in a theater with contained us and one. They're either Indian or Pakistani. I couldn't find what language they were speaking, but that was it. That was the entire audience of the movie. So it was just like a regular movie for them, but it was a foreign film for us.
Yeah, and that was the movie that Gogs and I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago. We saw the trailer for it, and it looked amazing. So.
I don't think I've ever seen an Indian movie.
Me neither. Like, I meant to watch that RRR that everybody was talking
Nate's
about
last
year.
He says it's really good.
But it's super long.
That thing's like 4 hours long, though, or something like that.
He said it was kind of like a, like, you remember when Jet Li was making all those, like, historical epic type movies
or
something?
I love those movies. Yeah.
Kind of akin to that. But,
That's a good selling point, because I do like those, you're talking about, like, Hero, and I can't remember the other one. Those are
I forget. Hero's the one I always think of, but yeah. This movie's amazing. It starts out kind of rough, because it's like, I know the trappings of like Bollywood movies just from like memes and shit.
Sure.
Kind of starts out like this really like, sappy. Correct. This really sappy like romance for like the first like 5 minutes, and then it gets to the train, and then it gets really violent. But I'm like, this is violent, but it's like not very gory, right?
Right.
And then I'm like, okay, so whatever, it's fine. But like a title card, something happens, and then the title card appears. I want to say like 40 minutes into the movie, and then it really starts.
The title card for the movie doesn't come until 40
I shit you
minutes.
Not. You gotta ask Nate; that's he'll probably amazing. Know exactly when it was. But because he turns to me, he's like, "Is this a fucking cold open?" And then it turns into The Night Comes for Us, and you know how I love that movie.
You already sold me. It's you told me that analog. I was like, okay, if you're comparing it to The Night Comes for Us, I'm like, in.
There are kills in this movie that I have never seen before. And we've seen a lot of splatter movies.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, it's so fucking good. Like, it's probably my favorite movie of the year so far. It's up there with the movie you and I saw, Kinds of Kindness.
Kinds of Kindness.
Two very different movies, but... Like, I don't know, man. Like, you know, you've seen this, like, bottle movie so many times now, and it's like, you know, every movie is, like, a long-form adaptation of the Odesu hammer fight. It seems like all these kind
the
of movies.
Raid. I think it's a cross between those two things. Yeah.
Right. But, man, it's so fucking good. And, like, it is relentless from the title card on. And then, like, because of what happens in the film, like the schmaltiness of the beginning really pays off of how fucking dark and like just disturbing the rest of it is. It's so fucking good. I'm
really excited to see it now.
Yeah. Super big recommend. Can't recommend strongly enough. If you like The Night Comes for Us or any of those movies, The Raid, Bullet to the Head, not the Sylvester Stallone one, but the one with Joe Talsom.
I can't remember if, I don't think I talked about it on the show, but I think I texted you guys. So I didn't really care for that Bob Odenkirk movie, The Nobody, or I think it was just called Nobody. But the sequel is coming out, and it's by the guy that directed The Night Comes for Us. I was like, okay, one over now. Like,
when I saw the preview for Long Legs, which looks really good, I finally saw a long form. And I saw TJ, I wish I could remember what it was called, but it's like you've probably seen the trailer, maybe Alec has. Where it's like a kind of a horror movie, but it's like a kind of like retro 80s horror movie about a girl that like lives in a hotel or works in a hotel or something, like a younger girl. And it looks like really fucking demented, but I can't remember what the fuck it was called. Nate, text me.
Speaking of trailers that I saw recently that I was like, wow, that looks really good. It was in front of Maxine. It's called Heretic that's coming out. And it's like, it's an A24 movie, and it's about these two like, what would you call them? Like Mormons, kind of, where they go like door to door to sell
missionaries. Places. Yeah,
missionaries. That's the word I was looking for. So they go to fucking Hugh Grant's house, right? And Hugh Grant's like this kind of quiet, like religious guy, and he like invites them in, but then he like locks the door, and he's got this weird like fucking altar in his house, and he's basically like religious Saul, where he's like, you can pick the faith door or the non-faith door, and like it looks awesome. I was like, okay, in. I'd never heard of this movie, like I didn't know anything about it, but the trailer was like banging.
You know, Hugh Grant from like Love Actually.
Yeah, huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and he looks awesome. Like because it's perfect. It's a perfect kind of role because he looks. You know, what I mean, they're kind of playing against type, right? Like, because he looks very, like he's a perfect horror movie villain because he looks very. You know, he looks like Hugh Grant. Like he looks very. Kind of unthreatening, and I don't know, the movie looked really interesting.
Oh, speaking of trailers, I saw that don't look very good. The new M. Night Shyamalan movie with Josh Hartnett.
Terrible.
Oh, God. But I don't hate the premise. Like, the premise of it, if somebody else made it, like, if who made a Don't Breathe?
Don't Breathe. No, Don't Breathe was Fetty Alvarez, yeah, the guy that's making Alien Romulus, which I think might be good. I don't know.
Yeah,
don't know.
We saw the preview for it. It looks like Alien's greatest hits. It looks like was it like Alien Quadrilogy, that video game where it just took the fun parts of all the movies and threw it in there. But yeah, the Shyamalan thing, it's like I'm watching, like, okay, I don't hate this premise. I like where they're going with it. And then it's like from M. Night, I was like, fuck, out.
Like, oh, God. Yeah, I know.
Out.
That's why they put his name so late in all the trailers now. Because people are like, as soon as they hear his name, they tune out. So like they don't say his name until like the end.
Lady in the Water, it's like, it was like from, and then the, you know what I mean, the trailer. So I think you're right.
Well, remember, I don't know if you guys remember this. This happened a long time ago. Remember that movie that he didn't even make? He just produced it. It was called, like, Devil. I think he wrote it.
We watched that. That was the elevator.
Oh, that's right. Well, I don't know if you remember, but, like, when that trailer came out, there was videos of like, the trailer. And then his name showed up, and the theaters were, like, booing. But he has a career somehow. Also, I didn't see it, but apparently his daughter's movie that came out, Watchers, like, I saw a whole, like, spoiler about, like, what that movie's about, and I was like, that sounds so fucking bad. Apparently it's about fairies, like that live in the woods. It's like,
the fae people.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's talk about this fucking terrible movie.
Yeah, again, guys, can you tell that we don't want to talk about this fucking movie? We've gone, like, close to 40 minutes, I think.
This is one of those.
The Seventh Son. We don't have GOG, so there's no GOG synopsis. But let me just tell you, I'll just break it down simple for you. Have you ever seen a fantasy movie? This is all fantasy movies. It's like the most generic ass fantasy movie I've ever seen. Like, it's kind of like Discount Witcher too, which is funny. Like, I don't know how familiar with either one of you are with either the show or the video games, but the Jeff Bridges character is basically a Witcher. Like he's basically
a spook, sir.
Yeah, I feel very uncomfortable saying that. In the movie, yeah, they call them spooks, and it's very, for obvious reasons, not the greatest term.
So, this is one of those "what am I doing with my life" movies, because, I'm trying to watch it. I'm doing my best, which, involves me being on my phone most of the time. And it's
on my phone immediately when this movie started.
Do you remember how much fun we had, sitting down together and watching Children of Men and then talking about it, and then it was immediately back to real life, and movies suck.
This was a splash of cold water compared to fucking Children of Men, which was it not only was it a joy to watch, I mean, it's not, obviously it's a very difficult movie, but I mean, to talk about, it's so rich, that's how I describe that movie. There's so much to it, and it's fun to talk about, fun to pick apart, fun to watch.
So rich, as opposed to this, which is so dense, it's like a crab cake with 90% newspaper. It's just impossible to get through. Much lore.
But the lore is boring too. I could give a fuck about the lore, and Alex said earlier, it's obvious that what's his name? Jigsaw. That's the actor that played Jigsaw in the Punisher show.
That poor guy, man. He's doing T-Mobile
commercials.
I thought he was a good actor. He was good in Jigsaw. I'm sure I've seen other stuff that he's good in, but god damn, how the mighty have fallen.
But like you said, Alec, earlier, it's obvious that he's supposed to be younger, and they do this thing where they keep calling him boy, and it's sir, I'm 28 years old. What do you, know what I mean? It was very
Even where Bridges you're calling him scrawny. It's he's not scrawny. He's a big man. I think he might be bigger than you.
it was very distracting. And then I looked at the Wikipedia. And that's when I found it was based on a book. And of course, in the book, he's supposed to be 12 years old. And it's why? Honestly, him being younger might have made this movie better. I feel, because I guess the book was a young adult novel. And I feel if you lean more into that, maybe you would have had something.
It would have made more sense about how he acted and why he was so unsure and didn't know how to act around the Alicia Vandeker. I can't remember anybody's name in this.
That's her name.
Her movie name.
Oh, who could ever know? But she's from Ex Machina. She's the robot girl from Ex Machina.
She's also the Tomb Raider.
This cast is so wasted. All of these people can act. I've seen them do it. But it's just...
The only person who gave a performance that I liked was Jon Snow. And he was only in it for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
He's in it for his 2 seconds.
I thought his little bit was, he was fine. But this movie,
they say when a witch meets a man that she loves, the blue spark appears. That is very specific.
But so at the beginning, are we just not doing a regular synopsis?
No.
The beginning of this movie shows Jeff Bridges as a young man, catch the witch dragon, imprison her. But he imprisons her in a prison that's not going to hold her for more than 30 years. Yeah, you don't go back and check on that or anything. You're just it's on a mountaintop and it's covered in metal
around it or something.
It just, and then she breaks out and he's like, oh no, she's back. It's like, no shit, she's back. Right. You did no upkeep, no maintenance. You didn't go look and check on her or anything. You were just you threw her in a hole, put a thin piece of metal on top, and let it rust away. You never checked it again.
Also,
was your routine your routine maintenance? That's how you keep your equipment working. You gotta keep your gun clean.
Also, Alec did say it, but if you're confused, so in this fantasy world, witches also can transform into dragons at will, which was a weird choice, I thought.
I didn't mind that, because they were, kind of small dragons. I didn't mind, I thought the, I guess a quick rundown. Jeff Bridges is the witch hunter. The queen witch that he imprisoned breaks out. She started getting the old gang back together. Jeff Bridges captures her again, but in the process kills his own helper She escapes, so he has to go find a new helper. Because
you forgot the part where he sets the realest fire you've ever seen in your life, this fucking PlayStation 1 fire. And also, she's also a dragon, question mark. How does that work? I don't know. Like, are dragons not immune to fire or something?
They are in most stories.
She escapes when an apprentice dies. I guess he just goes and picks a new one. So he goes and picks a new apprentice after he killed the last one.
The 30-year-old boy.
I think there's a joke dropped line in there somewhere. It's like, what happened to your last one? He's like, don't worry about that. You're my new one. Let's start going. Let's get rocking. They go on their quest. Hijinks ensue. The witch gets all her gang together to get the amulet of blah, blah, blah of power that somehow the apprentice,
Blood Moon,
the 28-year-old, 12-year-old apprentice has around his neck. Because his mom, spoiler, was a witch, but she hid it from everybody. She was a good witch. She was like Glenda. And then peril, blah, 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 fights, blah, 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 double crosses. At the end, they kill the witch. Jeff Bridges retires. The apprentice becomes the new witch hunter with his ogre sidekick.
Yeah, but now he's a falcon knight. As opposed to a spook or something?
Yeah, or something. I don't know.
Really, Jeff Bridges just wanted to say spook, so he was like, his character wanted to say spook.
I'm just racist.
So he retired that. Ben Barnes' character was woke. He was like, nope, I'm changing that name. I ain't saying that over and over.
Why does Ben Barnes have an American accent and everybody has an American accent but Jeff Bridges, who has a British accent?
Is that British? I don't even know what that is.
The guy who directed this is Russian.
Yeah, so he doesn't know what they sound like anyway.
Guarantee you that he tried to get everybody on the same page somehow, and Jeff Bridges was like, I'm doing what the fuck I want to do. Like, I don't care what you say.
Yeah, his performance definitely feels like, I'm going to do whatever the hell I want.
You also glossed over the heart of the picture, which is that the 29-year-old child meets someone who is not a witch, but is a witch, but she's half a gypsy, and then her father was a fucking tractor trailer. I don't know what the fuck. She's some kind of, like, halfling. And, like, they're in love. And she
finds out.
Yeah. She's like, do you not love me? It's like, lady, I've known you for 2 days. Like, pussy is scarce in witch land or wherever the fuck they live.
Yeah. Their, like, forced romance is pretty awful. It's
like,
in the book, is she, like, older and it's like a fucking Padme Anakin situation? Or is she also a child? Or is that plot
she's also a child.
Well, apparently it's a series too. It's because of course it is. But I only read like a very quick like synopsis of the book. So,
the designs of all the villains and their human forms, I really thought they were really cool. The King of Swords, like that's an awesome name. And then he had swords that he like pulls out of his kidneys. The one guy with a bunch of arms was cool. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I think. The one guy.
Fucking swords, didn't he?
He'll be in. Dude, this guy will be in any movie as long as it sucks. like, is this movie shitty? Then I will be in it.
The one guy looks like the elephant riders from Lord of the Rings. He had, like, the backpack and, like, the bald head and the red pants.
Yeah.
But man, there's not a lot about this movie to actually like.
No, and it's one of the most poorly directed and edited. Like whoever did the second unit of this should be executed. But like the big climactic battle, like you can't see what's going on. There's like weird push-ins and close-ups everywhere, and it's like a scene that feels like it should have 200 extras in it, but there's only like 5 people, so they're having this epic battle. It looks like they're doing like a stage rehearsal. It's
and like a better director.
Didn't do anything to set up like an army of people from the good guys. Like, it was just Jeff Bridges and the other dude fighting everybody. And then I guess the one witch turned on her sister for a second.
And then, but even in the fights that are just the two of them fighting, like, there's a couple of fights where they fight, like, big monsters. And again, Jeff Bridges has, like, an encyclopedic knowledge of, like, every monster. So, again, that's another, like, Witcher comparison. But those fights suck. Like, they're not fun, and they're not exciting, and there doesn't feel like any stakes to anything.
Yeah, like, and it looks like shit.
I mean, there's one part where, what's his name? Barnes? Chris Barnes? No, that's the guy from fucking Hannibal Corpse. Ben Barnes. He, like, is fighting with this giant monster, and they both fall off this like, huge waterfall. And the monster, it makes sense why he would survive. But he's fine, too. And it's like, he's just a human. Like, he just fell, like, you know, hundreds of feet, and he's fine. Like, what the fuck? Like, I don't know. Everything felt.
Oh, yeah, and Julianne Moore and Jeff Bridges used to fuck at some point, too. But then she became evil and killed his wife.
And killed his wife, yes. Yeah, he killed his wife. Because she was jealous of his wife.
Yeah.
Also, we didn't really talk too much about Julianne Moore.
This is, like, the worst sequel to The Big Lebowski I've ever seen.
She is hot. She's like goth Julianne Moore in this. Yeah. So she looks great. And I will say, like, as far as performances go, she knows what kind of movie she's in, because she is, like, hamming it up
in
every scene. Like, her performance is kind of fun. The movie is bad. But, like,
this also feels like
laying it up.
Also feels like the first three episodes of a not very good television show.
Agreed. Yeah, I totally agree with that. This seems like an unaired pilot. You know what I mean? This movie is so bad. There's, like, not a whole lot to talk about. You know what I mean? Like, it's fucking, you know, Nacho's Flanders style. You know what I mean? It's like, it's super generic. There's nothing to really, it's not bad enough to be funny. Like, it is incompetent, but it's not fun incompetent. And the plot sucks. Like, I don't know. Do we do scores already? I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I don't really know what else there is to talk about with this movie.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Anything else, guys? It's a very, very quick episode as far as the actual featured movie goes. Alec? Still with us, buddy?
Alec?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm trying to make it inside. It's about the thunderstorm.
Oh, shit. He's safe, buddy.
Alec, was your favorite part of the movie the fucking witches?
Yeah, that was definitely my favorite part.
All right, let's do five knuckle shuffles. This one's going to be grim. Sean.
Did you pick me?
Yes, Sean.
Oh, this is a zero. There's nothing worth anything in this movie, like, besides Julianne Moore being kind of hot, which she's also hot outside of the movie, so I didn't need to watch the movie.
Right, like, she's right
here. An image search. It's just fucking... It's, like you said, it's every fantasy movie. It focuses on, like, almost nothing. Like, it's like you gotta get before the moon of the Who's a Fudge, so you get the amulet of the Diddle Funks, and... Like, the fucking giant boy sidekick. Like, it's just fucking interminable. I hated it. Like, it's so bad. And, like, this is, like, Jeff Bridges should be ashamed. He really should. Like, cause I think, didn't RIPD come out roughly around the same time? This is, like, around the mid-year of Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, this is, like, Jeff Bridges going through, like, his, like, Nick Cage period where he's just in, like, any fucking thing.
Yeah. TJ.
It's also a zero for me, dog. This movie fucking sucks, and it's super boring, and despite the fact that I was on my phone the entire time, it still took me two different viewing sessions to watch the whole thing. Like, I was so fucking bored watching this movie. Like, I hated it. I thought it was fucking garbage. And, again, like, not like fun garbage either. Like, I don't, like, it's one of those things where I think about this a lot with a lot of bad movies. Like, the people making this movie, right? Like, what is the selling point of this movie? Like, every movie has something, right? In theory, there's something that should like keep your attention. And, like, I don't know what that is here. I guess maybe they thought it was Jeff Bridges. I don't know. But, like, it's not fun. It's not interesting. The fantasy world, again, it's nothing that you haven't seen in 100 better movies. Like, the world itself isn't that interesting. Like, it's not very good. I hate it. It's terrible, in fact. It's not that it's not very good. It's fucking awful.
I mean, it's also not very good in addition to being terrible.
Yeah, it's awful on top of being terrible. It fucking sucks. Don't watch it. I feel bad for Brent, who watches along with every one of our movies. Like, this one is a real stinker.
he's not real smart for being the doctor.
Yeah, well, you know, that's America's healthcare system.
Could you imagine if somebody died because so distracted by watching fucking the seventh witch hunter?
He's in mid surgery and he can't stop thinking about Jeff Bridges and the seventh son.
I forgot that we didn't talk about the fucking scene where, like, I'm looking for the seventh son of the seventh son. It's just like, oh god.
There used to be 2,000 of us, but now there's one. I don't know, man. I'm so sleepy.
Like, also, the seventh son thing is also like an old trope that used to be in like fantasy shit. And it's just like, okay. I don't know. It's fucking bad.
So, like, do they have to? So, I'm sorry. Do they have to be the seventh child who is a boy, or are they, like, every one of these families literally has to have seven sons? Because that seems like a lot.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is. They have to be a boy, right? The seventh son.
Do they have to be all boys?
I see.
Seventh one, or what do they? Saying. Yeah,
seventh sibling. Yeah. That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know or really care. Also, it reminded me of there's a White Stripes song that I believe is called Seventh Son. That's pretty good. So go listen to that. It's much better.
I believe it's called Seventh Nation Army.
No, not that song. Though seven does appear in a lot of their songs. Yeah. Interesting. Alec.
Negative five.
Hell yeah.
-5. Hell yeah. You know what? I stand for breaking the rules.
I'm going to let it go this time.
Yeah, absolutely.
This movie's not good. I knew it wasn't going to be good, but I picked it anyway because whatever. Hey. Who cares anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah, who gives a shit?
But did you know it was going to be bad like this?
Yeah, I've
seen it.
Oh.
Like, I watched it years ago.
Twice? Oh, my God.
I watched it years ago, and I was just going through Julianne Moore's oeuvre, and I was like, oh, I could make everyone watch this.
You're like, oh, I hate those guys.
I hate and those I sons of bitches.
And I did. And what's that Michael Jordan meme? And I took that personally.
Yeah.
I didn't make you watch it the first time.
Yeah, that's true. It was revenge.
Revenge on myself. No, this movie is brutal. It's horrendous. Like, I'll give it a 0. I won't go -5. This isn't the movie to, like, break the scale for. It's bad, yeah, but that's we've definitely watched worse things than this. So I'll just give it a 0 and stick with the group. Nobody's, like, good in it. The acting is atrocious. The effects, for the most part, are atrocious. There's a few things I didn't mind, but, man.
Oh, the makeup on his ogre friend is horrendous, by the way. I'm sorry I didn't mention that earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that character looks like shit.
He looks real bad. Yeah, there's not a lot to, like... There's not a lot to the movie, and even less to say about it, about how bad it is. Like, yeah, it's just... It's a stinking pile of doo-doo.
All right, so there, pick we is did it next week. Yeah, we did
I'll
it.
Go.
What do you got?
So,
go ahead, Alan.
I was gonna say I can't do Sunday, but I could do Monday.
I was gonna pick Magnolia, but it is 3 hours long, and I do love that movie, but I don't want to commit anybody to 3 hours of movie. So I'm going to pick a movie that I didn't like the first time, but I'm hoping I changed my mind. It is David Cronenberg's Maps of or to the Stars. I can't remember what the article is.
That's going to be interesting.
It is the Normie Cronenberg movie.
Yeah,
so,
I didn't like the movie either, so it's going to be interesting.
So we will see. So that's
all right, Maps of the Stars next week. That's a renegade pick. I love it. All right, everybody. That's the show. Right. You know what to do. Stay inside. It's too hot outside. Eat your own ass in the air conditioning because there's heat advisories out there. And we'll see you next week. And
bye-bye.
Fuck gods. ACAB includes gods.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Bye. All right,
bye.
Stop. This is me. Stop. All right.